Okay, folks, we're going to kick off. Somebody's... Okay. Nope, somebody else. Okay, folks, I think that's us now. So, Jay Devakar, Jarvis Fulch Row, I'd like to welcome everyone here to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent. And the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting tonight. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an item, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. If you do need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messaging feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Folks, I just want to start tonight's meeting with, I suppose, a moment, a small moment of reflection for the people of Ukraine and the brutal actions of Russia. It has been condemned right across the political spectrum, and we do send our thoughts to the people of Ukraine who are suffering. I do want to mention in particular our friend and colleague and past councillor of this chamber, Oksana McMahon, and also to other members of the chamber who I know have friends and families who are experiencing hurt due to the ongoing situation. While we are watching this ongoing, there has been a clear act of solidarity emerging with appeals and collections taking place all over the north. And just over the weekend, we had our own collections here in Newry and Downpatrick. And as I was helping in Downpatrick this morning, I was just completely blown away by the kindness and generosity of the people of this district. I know we will be hearing more from Councillor Stokes in particular later in the meeting, so others will have their opportunity to express their own sentiments on it. Tomorrow we will also be celebrating International Women's Day, a day where we stop, take a moment to celebrate women and acknowledge the hardships that do still exist, but mostly just how far we have come. The theme this year is Break the Bias, creating a world free from stereotype and discrimination, and moving to one which promotes diversity, inclusivity, and does celebrate differences or difference. I want to take a wee quick moment to thank all of those who attended the really successful event that took place on Friday past, and all the men who were in attendance as well. Your support was truly appreciated. So, look, we'll move on tonight to the agenda. Folks, is there any apologies?
Thanks. Apologies from Marie Ward as well.
Councillor Devlin. Councillor Devlin.
Yep. Councillor Savage, you're looking in.
Yeah. Yes, Chair, it was just in your opening remarks, I wouldn't want this evening to pass without paying tribute to the late Sean McAvoy. He was a councillor in the legacy Newry and Mourne Council. Sean passed away this week after many years of illness. He was a great councillor. He was very highly regarded across South Armagh and Newry. And my commiserations and condolences go to his family, and I'm sure those sentiments are echoed by everyone in the chamber. Sean's a great councillor and very highly regarded, not just in council, but across Northern Ireland and across these islands. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Savage. Okay, that's all our apologies. So item number two is our declarations of interest.
None, Chair.
None. Okay, so we'll move on to item number three, which is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 7th of February. We'll go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Can I get a proposer and seconder?
Chair, just before you do that, can I advise members of an amendment that's required to the action sheet and the minutes at item 4 in relation to C0202022. There was an error in the figures reported, so our rate increase of 1.95% should read that this means a non-domestic rate of 24.4633 pence and a domestic rate of 0.4146 pence. So if we can make that correction, please.
Okay, thank you, Drina. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy with those amendments?
Proposed, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. And seconded by Councillor Hanlon.
Just also to advise members that we have received a call-in of the notice of motion in relation to the it's item C0432022, that has been referred to legal counsel, and it will make its way back on to the next available council meeting once legal counsel have ruled on that. So we're not asking you to ratify that tonight.
Okay, thanks, Drina. So is there any matters arising out of the action sheet? No, okay, so we'll move on to item number 4, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 7th of February 2022. Page by page is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15 and page 16. Can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Burgess. Any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number 5, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 31st of January 2022. And page by page. Okay, can I get another seconder, sorry? Seconded by Councillor Andrews. That's for item number 4. Councillor Burgess wasn't in attendance at the meeting. Okay, no, sorry, apologies, he was in attendance, so Councillor Burgess is seconding. Okay, so item number 5, the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 31st of January. So page by page is page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Councillor Andrews proposed and Councillor Kern seconded. Any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 14th of February 2022. And page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, and page 13. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. On matters arising, Councillor Kern?
Yes, sir, Chair, as you see on the very first matter, it's in relation to reference to the town centre manager. It was what that was discussed here at the pre-meeting. And if you know, what was said at that meeting, that there was an agreement that we would organise a workshop with key stakeholders and groups together in order to develop a strategy with the focus on the need of a town centre manager, our town centre development. I would like to know just when that meeting could take place, because we are going along with the regeneration of Downpatrick at the present time, and I think now is an opportune time for to have this discussion and go forward.
Connor, would you like to come in?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, now that if these are ratified tonight, Councillor, we will move forward with putting a date and a list of attendees for the workshop.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. I think it was the item in relation to marketing. I think I declared an interest at that meeting. I don't know whether it's recorded or not.
Okay.
I did leave the meeting for that duration.
Can we just check those? Thank you. We'll get those amended, Councillor Savage. Councillor Hannah, I've just realised that Councillor Hannan can't second those. Councillor Hannah, are you happy to second them? You're next on the list, and you have a comment there as well. Glenn, you're on mute.
It's not often you can't hear me, Kathy. No, I'm happy to second the chair. Just, I would like to make a comment and also make an proposal. The Festival of Flight, disappointingly, isn't going ahead this year, so it is. And there's a number of things floating about in the media at the moment. But proposed events are to use the money that would have been used for the Festival of Flight. What my proposal would be is, before anything's done or any events are decided on, that the Mourne's DEA councillors are consulted for some sort of an agreement there of where or what direction events go in Newcastle, because there's a substantial amount of money there, so it is, and I think the Mourne's councillors should have a massive say in this, so they should. Thanks, Chair. I'm proposing that.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Hannah. Connor, do you want? Do we have a seconder for Councillor Hannah's proposal?
I'm happy to second that.
Thank you, Leanne. Okay, we're happy enough with that, Connor. You'll pick up with off that. Okay, thank you. Councillor Enright?
Thanks, Chairperson. I see that there are several SLAs regarding tourism referred to in the minutes, although I can't see which SLAs they are. I'm just concerned about the tourism centre in Downpatrick. I know that the St. Patrick Centre had its budgets cut from 150,000 a year to 115,000 about 11 years ago.
Sorry, Councillor Enright, that item was in committee. If you want to discuss it, we'll have to go into closed session.
Well,
or you can pick it up with...
I think it is important, Chairperson, because if it is actually on the meeting tonight, we do need to discuss it, because I wouldn't have had a chance, I don't think other Downpatrick councillors would have had a chance to feed into it. Thank you.
Councillor, that these SLAs have been presented to the ERT committee, and the recommendation was that we approve them, and that's why they're in front of the committee tonight.
Which is why I'm picking it up at the main council meeting.
Okay, well, we're going to have to go into closed session. Councillor Enright, if you want to discuss them, or Connor can pick up with you offline to discuss them.
No, it's too important, Chairperson.
Okay, so... can I get a proposal and a seconder to go into closed session? Proposed by Councillor McAvoy. Seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Okay, folks, so while we were in closed session, it was agreed to proceed with minutes as presented. Can I please get a proposer and a seconder for those minutes? Oh, sorry. Councillor Owen, you have a question?
Yes, thank you. It's just to do with the issue that Councillor Hannah raised earlier, to do with the Festival of Light, if that's okay. I'm just wanting to make a proposal that it is put into the calendar next year, just if it's something that could be earmarked now, just to make sure. I've had a lot of businesses while it is in Newcastle. I have had a lot of businesses and certainly a lot of aviation enthusiasts be in touch with me and are really quite concerned that this has happened. So I would really appreciate it if it could be earmarked as much as possible for next year. I would appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Councillor Owen, just to determine the events programme for what will be then the 23-24 year ahead of a costing of that full events programme would be premature, but we can certainly take your comments on board and put those back into the team for consideration, and they will be referred back to the ERT committee for next year when we are determining that programme. But we can't ahead of a proper costing for the following year. It would be premature to actually agree to that particular. Would you be content enough that we put it for further consideration next year?
To be honest, I thought it was always the same amount of money that was kind of earmarked for each DEA, and the things were then spent.
Subject to council approval, so we have to go through the rates process each year and then look at the budgets thereafter.
Is there no way to actually give a firm commitment to the public that that this will go ahead next year?
I would suggest it's premature at this stage because we have to look at all of the events in the round and take them all through the committee for full consideration.
Okay.
Councillor Taylor, you have a comment?
Yeah, Chair. Well, I was actually going to second Councillor Owen's proposal. Now, it's very clear that we have to say the Festival of Flight, you know, I've been at it nearly every year. It's been hosted in Newcastle, and I don't think there should be even a query about the cost of it.
Councillor Taylor, sorry to interrupt you, but this is was also in closed session, so if we are going to discuss it further, we're going to have to go into closed session now.
Well, I'm happy to do that if it means we can speak on it. There's no issue with that.
Okay, can I get a proposer in a second to go into closed session, please?
I propose.
Sure.
Can I ask everyone, sorry, to use the chat function because it's just too difficult to do the both. So proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Owen. So we're just going to go into closed session. Okay, folks, so while we were in closed session, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Taylor that the Council will work towards putting the Festival of Flight into the events programme for 23-24, subject to committee approval. Okay, so can I get a proposer and a seconder for the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting, please? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Andrews. And no further matters arising, we will move on to item number 7. Okay, so item number 7 is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 17th of February 2022. We will go through it page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising?
Sure, yeah.
Can you use the chat, Declan, please, just to keep it?
Well, sorry, the thing and I actually went out.
Okay, go on ahead, Councillor Maxer.
Okay. Yeah, it was just, we'll probably have to get a closed session for this because it's relation to some of the minutes.
What's it in relation to?
Well, it's actually page 17. It's just an accuracy, just about...
page 17?
Well, page 17 refers to the action sheet of the 3rd of February. So if you go back to the 3rd of February, I'm not happy with the action sheet the way that it was, my comments were. Because it refers in page 17 to the
SFWG.
Yeah. It's the minutes that were adopted at the meeting.
At SPNR?
Pardon?
At the SPNR committee?
Yeah. But you have to go back to the 3rd of February meeting of the SPNRs.
So they're not in these minutes? Is it in this set of minutes?
Pardon?
Is it in this set of minutes that we have here tonight?
Yes, because they have to get approved, ultimately.
Page 7.
I'm trying to hold them on out here. You have to go back two meetings.
Speaking of Finance
Waterbury. On the 3rd of February.
Page 7.
Yeah, whatever it is, close session.
Okay, can I get a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Andrews.
I love the end.
Okay, so folks, while we were in closed session, it was agreed to proceed with the minutes as presented. So can I please get a proposer and a seconder for those set of minutes? Proposed by Councillor Andrews. Can I get a seconder for SPNR, please? Okay, sorry, Councillor Andrews, you weren't at that. I mean, can I get a proposer and a seconder? Proposed by Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Okay. And no more matters arising on those minutes. We move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting. Held on the 21st of February 2021. So page by page, just page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor McAvoy. Seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Councillor Lewis, you've matters arising.
Thank you, Chair. I wrote this down a long time ago, so I'll just search again. It's page 2. Could I just get an update on the reopening of the hot tub? I understand that the vitality suite in the Down has been reopened, and would like to thank the officers for the vain work that they have done, but it's just the hot tub. I understand that it had to be repaired.
Okay. Michael, do you want to come in?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I think I had said at the committee meeting that a number of the facilities may take slightly longer to open because there were some repair works to be carried out. I understand that what the Council says is correct. There was some repair works to be carried out to the hot tub. Should be open in the next few days. We're just, I was aware we were waiting on various parts for it. We also have experienced, councillors, just for your information while I'm on the subject, difficulties in getting various products and cleaning products for the facilities, which have caused us some difficulty as well. But we are moving to open all facilities as quickly as we can, and that's the commitment that I gave at the time. Once I've got a firm date, councillor, quite happy to come back to you on that, if that's okay.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Okay. So we've no other matters rising. We'll move on to item number 9, which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 23rd of February 2022. Page by page is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Kern. And Councillor Hanlon, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, is there any update on the timeframe for the public consultation around public toilets, public toilet strategy? And I'd sent a request in earlier this evening around providing portaloos at Caliph Beach. I was there yesterday and it was extremely busy. And I think residents are becoming very frustrated as they're not really sure where people are actually being able to use any facilities. So if that request can be expedited, it would be appreciated.
Johnny, you happy to come in on that?
Yeah, Chair. In terms of the latter issue, if Councillor Hutton's content, I can pick it up if they're outside of the meeting. In terms then of the former issue with regards to the update in the public consultation, there was a paper presented at the committee. I don't have the details in front of me, so if that's okay, I can also pick up the Councillor Hanlon where we are in terms of the public consultation.
Yes, no problem. Thanks, Johnny.
Okay. Councillor McAteer.
Okay. Hopefully we're going to have a closed session. This question is just to Johnny about the procurement of the vehicles coming on stream. And it's just to flag up the issue that actually represented me there last week, where a set of bins weren't lifting a certain road with a road tonnage, vehicle tonnage limit on it. The MacPac breaks down quite often, and these roads are left then, and other small roads which are difficult to access, they're left then at the mercy of whoever is just available without a big lorry to go out and collect them, presumably by van or by hand. So with that in mind, it struck me that it would be a matter of urgency to get the like of those smaller vehicles on that part of that procurement list, I suppose, first as a matter of urgency, I presume along with the other ones. But it was just to flag that up and see, had that been recognised and was that going to actually happen?
Johnny?
Yes, Chair, I can confirm that those MacPac type vehicles have been included within a tender that we issued out to replace a significant part of the fleet. And just as an update, we have completed a tender evaluations for 5 of the 6 lots, and we hope to place orders before the end of this month.
Okay, thank you.
It's just, Chair, it's just the length, the 28 weeks was mentioned, and that's, just 6-7 months away,
Okay. Councillor McMahon?
Do you want me to respond to that to you? Because I'm happy to.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, sure. I suppose this is an industry-wide issue in terms of supply chain difficulties. We are seeing delivery times, as the councillor set out, right up to over 52 weeks, depending on the vehicle type. This is outside of officers' control, but I suppose we're focusing on getting the orders placed, which is say that we're aiming to do that before the end of this month, and then we'll put pressure on suppliers to reduce those delivery times.
Okay, thanks, Johnny.
Okay, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I promise I'll be brief. Chair, it was really just on the point that Councillor Hanlon made. I experienced a similar issue as well. Indeed, I had emailed a council officer, and I appreciate that the council officer had his out of office reply turned on, so I appreciate that. But perhaps if Mr. McBride could also tie me in with regards to Portaloos in certain areas, I would be much appreciative, because there's an issue within Dundrum. So thank you, Chair. Bye now.
Yeah, happy to do that, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Johnny. Councillor Enright.
I'd like to support the point made by Councillor O'Hanlon and just make an additional point that Cleve and Caffrey's Beach, it's the same two beaches, they're the only internationally recognised bathing beaches that we have that don't have toilet facilities in the entire council area. I know we have 33 beaches overall, but only a few of them have international recognition as bathing water beaches or blue flag beaches, and this is one of them. So it and since we as council are supporting it as a EU bathing water beach, and that's now been passed into UK statute, it behoves us to have some sort of facility there. Now I know our DEA has asked for this on a number of occasions. I think we made progress in Killock, but we have on many occasions asked for a permanent facility. But a temporary facility will do because it's really getting quite bad. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Cadogan. Johnny, you're happy to take that on board? Thank you. Yes, Councillor Park?
Thanks, Chair. A wee question for Johnny here, Chair. About the recycling centre in Hilltown, Johnny, what is the story with it? Because probably the last couple of weeks, whenever you're living in the village, you're getting honked and tortured, basically. Why is it not open for? And I've been talking to Liam Dinsmore this morning about it, and he was saying there's a good chance it'll not be open this week either. Like, you're talking the last 2 weeks, it's open maybe Monday, maybe Saturday. So could you give us a wee update on it, Johnny? Could you? Because my head's getting tortured.
Yes, Chair. We unfortunately have been experiencing workforce deficits in some of our services, and particularly the household recycling centres, due to the ongoing impact of COVID. And indeed other absences. We do have a service continuity plan in place for the household recycling centres, and what that means is that we do at times have to close some sites in order to protect others. We have attempted to go out to the agency to supplement our workforce, but that has proved unsuccessful. And I suppose it's striking a balance, Chair, between maintaining services as much as we can without robbing others and having a detrimental impact, particularly on the likes of cleansing and grounds and building maintenance. So I do understand the elected members' difficulties, but I can assure that we're trying really hard to, I suppose, return to a service that everybody expects and deserves.
Have enough, Jerry. Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, Chair, thanks. Similar to Jerry, Councillor O'Hare, just but in relation to Newton Hamill, I've spoken to Sinead regarding this over recent days, Johnny. I'd raised it with yourself as well. And listen, I understand the pressures that you're facing at the minute, but I think, you know, we should try and find a way of maybe spreading the pain a wee bit, if we can, because as Hilltown and, you know, Newton Hamilton's have certainly borne the brunt of this over recent weeks, and obviously we've been approached by various constituents regarding that, you know, about the fact that they always seem to be the ones that, you know, take the fall whenever any sort of crisis, you know, happens. And whilst you have to deal with that crisis the best way you can, if there was a way of trying to, you know, share the pain a wee bit, I think we should try and do that. Just in relation to street cleansing in Newton Hamilton, I'm told there could be an issue with the machine again. This was a problem before. Could maybe have a look into that, Johnny, as well, to see if we can try and get that restored as soon as possible. We'll say I've received representation that is within the last few hours, actually, so if we could have that looked at.
Yeah, happy to do that, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, thanks. Johnny, wasn't it discussed at group leaders? It was to do with the average tonnage that was brought to the HRC, that was part of the reason, like just answering in with David there. It's not that these centres are picked out of spite or anything. It's just to do, I think Cross and Glen's probably in the same, whereas Camel is in a slightly different category in that there's far more waste going inlet per week or that. I'd certainly support what David's saying about the street cleansing. I know one of the operatives retired about 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, and the streets haven't been cleaned since. And people just think it's just the case that your man retired, so that's it. It's never going to be cleaned again. Now, I've tried to convince them that that's not the case, that there probably will be somebody else coming out to clean it. So if that could be done as quickly as possible, that'd be great.
Take that on board, Johnny, yeah?
Yeah, I'll do that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 10, which is the planning session. Can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor McAteer and seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Okay, folks, so that moves us on to the notices of motion. So the first notice of motion is from Councillor McAvoy. Leanne, do you want to read out your motion? And just let us know who's seconding it as well, please.
Thank you, Chair. So Councillor Murphy is going to second my motion. So it's opposed to plan changes to red diesel. Newry Mourne and Down Council opposed the plan change to red diesel usage being brought in by HMRC in April. The proposed change to red diesel usage in any vehicle other than what are described as vehicles being used for agricultural purposes only. This council notes with concern and that these changes will have severe implications for many sectors of our economy locally and throughout our district and not solely within agriculture. Sinn Féin proposed that Newry Mourne and Down Council write to the British Treasury opposing the plan changes and seeking to immediately pause these damaging proposals and to look at new ways as to how government can practically support businesses take the necessary actions to move away from fossil fuels and to put in place measures and policies that will have a meaningful impact on reducing emissions, as these proposals will only serve to increasing input costs. Increasing input costs without themselves reducing emissions. We will also write to all councils in the north asking them to write to the British Treasury asking them to raise concerns that this will have a detrimental impact, economic impact across all council areas. The change to the entitlement to the use of red diesel won't reduce emissions in itself, but it will, however, increase revenues for the British Treasury. This latest plan from the British Chancellor would see the removal of the lower duty rate from red diesel with a sudden increase in price of around 50 pence per litre and as a consequence have damaging effects on all sectors who currently avail of using red diesel. It will hit businesses hard, particularly in agriculture, construction, quarrying and manufacturing sectors that are already struggling with the increased cost of material and soaring energy prices and could put jobs at risk. We just have to look at the price increase to petrol and diesel in recent days, extortionate increase in fuel and expecting these sectors to try and continue to deliver is another financial blow. The British Chancellor should pause this move and instead look at how to practically support businesses take the necessary action to move away from fossil fuels and put in place measures and policies that will have a meaningful impact on reducing emissions. Sinn Féin is committed to ensuring the principles of just transition are enshrined in climate action so that workers in industries that are carbon intensive and people who can least afford it aren't disproportionately affected and left to bear the brunt of the cost of the transition to net zero.
Thanks, Leanne. Councillor Murphy, you're happy to second?
Yeah, just like to second. It's probably it's the most unfortunate time given, you know, the price hike at the moment at the petrol pumps and diesel pumps, you know, for farmers that are already under pressure, given, you know, the reduction and in some cases the absolute taking away of EU funding that farmers would have depended on, Brexit, etc. You know, so there's an awful lot of practical parts to this that I don't think have been taken into consideration by legislators. I think it's been a bit premature. And, you know, even the knock-on effects, you know, for example, charities, including, you know, ones that I would work with, would, you know, have tracker runs on an annual basis. You know, those guys, you know, are going to have to drain their tractors, wash the tanks out, put in white diesel. Given all of those restrictions, you know, you're going to find that that's just simply not going to happen. You know, so again, that's another limitation on how we fundraise. You know, so to many people, they see that this as another attack on both the rural community and the rural economy. And, you know, decision makers in different places, you know, without taking into consideration how this impacts on the recipients, the people on the ground. So, yeah, I definitely second this motion.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Lewis, you're looking in?
Sure, I was looking in as well, so I was.
Oh, sorry, Declan. Yeah, you are. You're in first. You're just above Declan, second in there. Apologies, missed it. Go on ahead, Glenn.
I think that was with Patricia there. She was a bit slow off the mark right at my level. Now, Chair, we in the DUP is happy enough there to second this. So, to be quite honestly, this with the red diesel and that is just becoming a joke. So it is. One gentleman on there that has a haulage business, and he was even explaining to me, say, was that on a refrigerated lorry, fair enough, the lorry's running on white diesel, but the refrigeration unit, which always went in red diesel, now actually has to use white diesel as well, which would leave a massive increase, especially on refrigerated stroke frozen foods. That's only one example. I actually think there, to be quite honest with you, Westminster or the Chancellor of Exchequer needs to pause this whole issue of red diesel for maybe at least to the duration of this whole problem with Ukraine and the hiking fuel prices and all that. It needs to be paused because pretty much we're in a unique situation here. National insurance contributions are going up now in the first of April as well. There's another 1.25%. All this is coming there along at the one time. So I'm more than happy, Chair, that the DUP is happy to support this motion, and that at least the Chancellor of Exchequer needs to pause this for a period of time, at least a few years, until all these major international problems actually are brought under control, if that's the way you want to put it. So, Chair, we're happy enough in the DUP to support it. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Glenn. Councillor Lewis?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, us in the Ulster Unionist Party are happy to support this motion. I think that these proposals were rushed and ill thought in the first place, that there seems to be having no prior consultation with the police, and once again it just goes for the total disregard that's been shown to the rural community, and it enforces that perception that those higher up don't really understand how the countryside works, nor do they care about the impact that has been put on the rural and on the hard working people who now have to deal with the outcomes of these. We know only too well about the vital service that the air ambulance does give to the countryside and to the rural parts of this country, and every single year there is massive tractor runs and family friendly charity events which are run to raise huge funds for not only the Northern Ireland Air Ambulance but other vital work of charities, and this whole proposal more or less stinks of red tape without taking in to without taking under knowledge or even looking into the finer detail of what this will mean in terms of the impact on farm tractors and vehicles and other sort of work contract vehicles, that whenever you drain the fuel from them, it could actually be causing damage to the vehicle and goes against the manufacturing guidelines that are handed down to totally drain and to fuel. So yes, we're happy to support this and happy that the proposal goes to other councils to get them on board as well, as it's vital that that message gets out there about the damage and impact that this would potentially have.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Councillor McKevitt?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And listen, a lot of the points that I was going to make have already been made. I mean, like the red diesel rebate, it will hit the industry of construction particularly hard, because it's still reeling from the rising material costs and labour costs through to supply and demand because of Brexit, etc. So, I mean, like it's already a massive hit for them for the increases that people, construction workers that I've been talking to and developers for their fuel. I actually spoke to them before things broke out in Ukraine and price have hiked and were considerably worried about that. But today's worries tripled in price from this was first muted. So the SLP will certainly be supporting this motion tonight. And Glyn raised about the national insurance contributions and all. Very, very serious. I'll give an example of a lot of construction workers live in the north and work in the south and vice versa. And any machinery that they're using for to do their day-to-day work will have to be emptied at the border and cleaned and refilled with white diesel or the green taken out of it and put in for white as well for the southern end. So, like, I mean, it's a bit ridiculous and ill-thought, rushed through, and it definitely should be stopped. So we'd be supporting, on the basis of all the comments that have been made this evening, we'd be supporting the notice of motion this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKevitt. Councillor McKee?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, I did join an HMRC Health Department Union meeting at the start of this, and we did listen to what they were saying. And they went on as far to say how they were going to enforce it. That, you know, in relation to, as you heard there, about changing red diesel to white diesel and vice versa. And they heard how that wasn't going to work. And, you know, all of these things is, who's going to police this? How are they going to police it? Any man that's caught doing wrong is going to have to pay dear for all of this here. But I do know... farming, yes, a lot of the farmers, actual agricultural work is not so badly hit because they are allowed to use red diesel. One of the things they weren't allowed to use was if they were doing a building, that the contractor coming in would have to use white diesel. That would be their main hit. In relation to using agricultural machinery for snow clearance, hedge cutting or whatever, that was still okay on red. But the main ones are going to be hit here is the development sector, the construction, quarry and generators. And one of the things that I've listened to one client who said that he owned a lot of diggers, and his problem is he is on several sites across Northern Ireland, and he stores red diesel on those sites. Now, if he had to change, and he will have to change, from this red diesel to this white diesel, how is he going to be able to place white diesel in his bowsers, whatever type of, most of our bowsers that he has on sites, fixed in inside containers? And, you know, people can fill a digger with white diesel. How do you know where else the rest of white diesel is going? So it's nearly impossible to place. So I think one of the things we have known, and the recent, I think I got something from HMRC in the last few days, that they have made a U-turn on the use of red diesel at ploughing matches. That was supposed to be white. They made a U-turn on that, but as yet they haven't stated clearly that they've made a U-turn on charity tractor runs. And we know that raises a serious amount of money for all good, important charities. So I would just like to see that somewhere within your proposal, and I totally agree with your proposal of your notice of motion, but I'd like to see in it just maybe emphasise the fact that charity tractor runs need to be excluded from white diesel for the importance of the charities. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Harold. Councillor McMurray?
Yeah, Chair, I'll be brief. Sort of slight concerns about the motion. I think it's slightly conflicted, really. You know, it's a case of we want to wean ourselves off hydrocarbons, but can we do it in 5 minutes, please? You know what I mean? So, I mean, this council here is, taking motions about divesting from fossil fuels and stuff like that, and yet here we are seemingly, just seeming to prolong and prolong and prolong. So I have concerns about the motion, and I think it's a case of we want to be green, but just not today. So thank you, Chair.
Okay, so Councillor Murray, are you not in support of the motion?
For the motion, not in support of the motion. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, you were on mute there for the start of that, Andy. I didn't hear it.
Not in support of the motion. 9.
Not in support of the motion. Okay. Councillor O'Reilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would like the council to note that my laptop gave up on me, and I missed the first half hour of the meeting until I got my old phone with the council app on it. But I think Councillor Murray has just hit the nail on the head there. We have to get away from this nonsense of zero carbon. If you look at the policies being put through the Assembly at the minute, I'm supported by the Alliance Party, the Greens, the SDLP and Sinn Féin. That will do far more damage to our agricultural industry than switching to red diesel. And I've had it confirmed that if you have an agricultural implement on your tractor during the tractor run, that the police would not be able to claim that you were violating the red diesel policy. So the whole thing's a nonsense. But we need to seriously look at the zero carbon. And the increase in national insurance, well, it's going to hurt everybody across the every employee. This council continually asks the NHS to up its performance, and they're telling us they don't have the cash to do it. So we have to take that hit on national insurance if we're going to have a working NHS. So I support the motion in principle, but there's just so much hypocrisy and double standards connected to it. We need to get by all this, and we certainly need to ask Her Majesty's Government to immediately defer this DAF policy. And the other thing, Madam Chair, is I've seen estimates before this massive hike in fuel prices that it would cost quarry owners, builders, that type of person, £25 million a year extra for their businesses. Now, maybe the Assembly could find £25 million or £30 million, depending on how much fuel goes up, and subsidise those people through some form of direct subsidy, because we have the Northern Ireland Executive there. That's what devolved government's for, is to make sure that we try and look after our own people in a way that suits us. So if that could be included in the proposal, Madam Chair, I would propose it, that the Northern Ireland Assembly actively pursues a method of subsidising fuel use in non-agricultural businesses. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McAvoy, are you happy to accept that amendment?
Sorry, could we get Councillor Riley just to repeat that, please?
Councillor Riley, could you just repeat your proposal there, please?
That the Northern Ireland Assembly examines all avenues of being able to subsidise industry in Northern Ireland that's affected by the red diesel. The loss of rebated diesel. I think that's pretty straightforward. If it's £25 million, it's not going to bust the executive, but it could maybe stop some small businesses from going bust.
No, I don't think it's a possibility, Councillor Riley, sorry. My understanding is it's going to the Chequer, not
the Chequer's imposing it across the UK, but it's up to the Assembly to try and come up with some policy of making sure that
businesses in Northern Ireland can overcome the worst effects of it or mitigate the worst effects of it.
Okay, Councillor Riley, are you happy to, are you in support of the motion without your amendment?
Yes, I'll still support it, obviously, but if the amendment could have went forward, I think it would have been a worthwhile one.
Okay, well, it's not been accepted by Councillor McAvoy at the minute. Councillor McAteer?
Okay, sorry to make it as quick as that. Yeah, just to make the quick brief point, I know many operators who are small farmers in our area, and they have dual-purpose tractors, you know, which are used in building sites and back home on their own farms. And, like, they face either draining their tractors or filling it with duty-paid fuel. So this, for them, really is both a practical and administrative nightmare, you know. And this may work for some of the larger farms in Cambridgeshire and East Anglia in over in Britain, but not for the small farms here in the north of Ireland. And, you know, it's not cutting the cloth with the issue here. And it's only going to lead to absolute another nightmare for everybody concerned. Thanks, Chair. But I support the motion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we don't have full support of the motion, so we're going to have to take it to vote.
Councillor Andrews? Councillor Brown?
Against.
Councillor Burgess?
For.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Casey's absent. Councillor Clark is absent. Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin's absent. Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hanna?
For.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Hall's absent. Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone?
For.
Councillor Mason?
For.
Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy?
For.
Councillor McKee?
For.
Councillor McKevitt?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
Against.
Councillor Mulgrew is absent. Councillor Murphy?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Murray?
For.
Councillor Owen?
For.
Councillor Riley?
For.
Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Rowan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Stokes?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinley? So long. Councillor Tinley? Right. I'll mute. Councillor Trainer.
For.
Councillor Tinley. No. So I have 31 for and 3 against.
Okay, thank you. So the motion has been passed. Leanne, I'll hand back to you to sum up.
Yeah, look, I'll keep you. Just really that it's a must that we as a council make this representation to the British Treasury to highlight the serious concerns with this being introduced, with Brexit already having a detrimental impact on our local communities. And across our district, now added is the increased cost of living, fuel prices and raw materials. Farming and rural businesses do not need this added pressure placed on them.
Can I withdraw my vote? going on about Brexit having a detrimental effect is nonsense. It's having a good effect.
Okay, Councillor Riley, we're moving on past that now. Go on,
Sum up in a completely counter.
And I would just like to
thank you. That's a disgrace that you're even allowing that in.
Okay, absolutely. So we're going to move on to item number 12.
Your political points.
Councillor, please.
Should not be allowed, Madam Chair. You are a disgrace to this council. No independent thought there whatsoever. You're a disgrace.
Okay, we're going to move on to notice of motion from Councillor Lewis. Councillor Lewis, I'll hand over to yourself.
Okay. I'll start by just reading it out, Chair, first, okay? So, following proper scrutiny and due process and appropriate assembly consideration, this council supports the implementation of Charlotte's Law. We support the proposed mechanisms of recategorising all no body murders from the normal murder category into the very serious murder category, meaning a higher starting point in sentencing. Furthermore, we support offering a specified time post-sentencing where significant disclosure can be made on the perpetrator, and if it results in the victim's body being recovered, then a review of the tariff will be offered and the non-disclosure is no longer a relevant factor. We call on the next Minister of Justice to move these proposals forward without delay in the next Assembly mandate. Chair, can I just thank Council for taking this and hope that it can be supported by all parties. I would like to just also start by paying tribute to both the Murray and the Dorian families who have added their weight and who have campaigned with dignity and determination through the pain and the personal pain that they have suffered and has been inflicted on their family. And just as this motion is being talked about and debated tonight, could I just remind councillors that Joanne is actually present in the meeting. That's the sister of Lisa Dorian, and asked that this be debated in a respectful way, and keep in mind that this is not some sort of legislation that doesn't impact or doesn't have an immediate effect to these families and many other families, that it does have a very immediate impact. And it's just to also point out that those both families, indeed the Murray and the Dorian family, haven't suffered from what happened. Them have used that to aid and support other families, not just in this part of the world, but in all parts and all corners of these islands and even further afield, and they're putting their pain to the use of supporting others through the hardship that they have. We believe that action must be taken to both recognise the seriousness of this offence, to satisfy the requirements of retribution and the deterrence. The concealment of a body compounds the anguish to the family of the victim, and this is not merely an aggravating factor. This is an offence worthy of being placed in the very, very serious murder category. Now, we need to understand the object wickedness of the act of murder is compounded by the perpetrator's concealment of the body, even after they go through the rigorous process of a case, to then still refuse that family to have back their loved one and to give them an actual Christian burial, a religious burial, and a place of remembrance and reflection. not only amplifies the grief and suffering, but also inflicts a final act of psychological torture and trauma to that family, who not only know that their loved one was killed, but not being able to have the body and to go through the proper grieving, the grieving process. If you take that all into account, realistically, the only way to encourage people to make that disclosure once they have been convicted is by offering them a post-sentence reduction on their actual sentence time, and if a body is recovered, there will be a review of the tariff, and I believe that will play a significant part in helping these families who've been through this suffering and trauma. It's to note as well, Chair, the good work that has been done by the Northern Ireland Department of Justice and by the current Justice Minister, Naomi Long, in supporting these families and recognising the complexity of this legislation. And it was also worth noting that this is a piece of progressive legislation. That's the first time anywhere across the world that it has been tried, and it's worth them just closing that this does not take away from the court case. It does not take away from the fact that the person accused and charged and then later convicted following a proper court process and proper due procedure. I also want to note that I've specifically started the motion by saying that this needs to go through the scrutiny of the assembly and following those proper implementation of those procedures, as I do understand that all parties at that level will have to feed in to that that process, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Taylor, you're second in the motion. Do you want to come in?
Yeah, Chair. Very briefly, just Alton has outlined quite a bit of detail just in relation to the motion, and I certainly hope that all the members present here tonight can support what is a very worthy and important motion. Now, as Alton has said, certainly for our party, this, we believe that that action is necessary, to be taken to both recognise the seriousness of the offence and to satisfy the requirements of, retribution and deterrence. And, the concealment of any body compounds the anguish caused to any family of the victim. And certainly we feel that the introduction of Charlotte's Law would certainly, be an important, factor in ensuring that the offence, that has been carried out, that any sentence is worthy of it being placed in a very serious murder category. We think that's necessary, to ensure that a proper sentencing is undertaken regarding, the seriousness of the offence. So, as I say, Alan has outlined quite a bit of detail in terms of what's been proposed tonight, so I'm very happy to second his proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. So first in there we have Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair, and welcome to the meeting, Joanne. I'm sure this is not an easy motion to be discussed in front of you, and we offer condolences for the loss of your sister. Sinn Féin want to place on record our thanks to your family and the family of Charlotte Murray, who have campaigned so relentlessly for the introduction of Charlotte's Law. It is this relentless campaigning and the search for truth and justice for your loved ones that has gotten us to this stage, and Sinn Féin support the introduction of Charlotte's Law. The Justice Minister has proposed to introduce a form of Charlotte's Law which would place the statutory duty on parole commissioners to take into account the non-disclosure of a victim's remains where the person's killer is applying for parole. Where a person has been convicted of murder but refuses to disclose the whereabouts, this would weigh heavily on the parole commissioner's decisions, and we support this. This would be introduced alongside a number of practical and administrative changes which are designed to encourage a person to disclose a victim's whereabouts at each stage of the criminal justice process, and we support this. So in regards to the wording on the drafting of the motion, regarding the proposals regarding recategorising no body murders and post-sentencing reviews, the Minister has not proposed these. The Minister has sought views on these options in a consultation. From our engagements with the Minister, we understand she does not support these changes herself, and we are opposed to these two options. So we do not believe that a compelling case has been made for these changes to be brought in, and given the legal complexities involved, much more would need to be carried out by the Department before it can conclude such proposals would be appropriate or effective. So if you would allow me, Councillor Lewis, we would propose an amendment to the motion as it's read. So basically, after Charlotte's Law, we would be adding in, alongside the package of practical and administrative recommendations from the Department's review of the law regarding the law on disclosure of victims' remains, this Council calls for incoming Justice Minister to introduce Charlotte's Law in the next mandate.
Thank you.
Councillor Lewis, yeah, go ahead, are you happy to...
Sorry. No, unfortunately not. I feel that the changes won't give the necessary weight that this law needs, and that it does need that sort of stronger legislative background in order to be able to do that. So no, at this point, unfortunately, although that I do take on board what you said, I don't feel that I can change that at this time. And Charlotte's Law, following the consultation, should hopefully include the recategorisation and the tariff review, and I feel that for us to not have that on at this point would be letting down those two families who have rigorously campaigned for it.
But, if I could go back in, it's just to really state on record that we do agree with the principle of the motions. It's just the drafting of it. And, we did support the Assembly motion that went through the Assembly in regards to Charlotte's Law, so it is really just the devil in the detail, Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, no, look, I take that on board, but I feel that given my work and my consultation that has went into bringing this motion with the families and with those who support this strong legislative stance, that I feel that I can't take that amendment that it would need Tuesday as it is to ensure once this goes through the consultation process and come out of it that the two most vital and important parts of this is the recategorisation and the tariff review, and ensure that's enshrined in legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Hannan, have you got a seconder for your amendment?
It's Councillor O'Mara.
Okay. You're happy, Mara? Okay. I'm going to take in Councillor Bryan. Councillor Byrne. Sorry, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll have to leave tonight. Yeah, listen, we fully support the motion that's in front of us, although in some of the wording, Councillor Lewis, I suppose the way you open up the motion, following proper scrutiny, due process and appropriate Assembly consideration, that in itself could change some of the content, because I'd say, right across this chamber, listening to the speakers before as well, that there will be unanimous support for Charlotte's Law. I've been following this, and I think there will be politically unanimous support for it. But it's the technicalities of what that law looks like in the end. We had sort of amendments talked about which parole board should consider, take it into consideration. I don't accept that, that it shouldn't simply be considered. I think it should be more heavy-handed than that. I know the families have campaigned for over a decade for no release unless you disclose the whereabouts of the remains of that person. And that has to be debated through the Assembly chamber. So Charlotte's Law, in essence, we don't know what the final outcome of it will be. So I think broadly there is huge support for it, but some of the things that's in this motion we're asking to put forward as proposals or to be brought without delay in the next mandate, but then at the start we're opening up saying that it should be scrutinised, go through due process, so that in itself could change. And just trying to be the devil for Warden, I just want to highlight that. But I also want to echo the comments of the councillors who spoke beforehand, and Charlotte Murray and Lisa Dorian's families and the campaign that they have fought, certainly from 2005 and 2012 respectively, for this law to be brought in. The families do want to go further than Helen's Law in England, and they want to see it having those harder impositions on it about a person not being released until they give the whereabouts of the body. It is a harrowing situation for any family to be in. It is blindingly painful for a family to lose a loved one in those circumstances, and then that to be compounded by not knowing where the final resting place is. I just cannot imagine what families are going through. I know it's absolutely separate from families of the disappeared, so I'm not going to go into that. But I know from, you know, coming from South Armagh, what families feel when the loved ones, they don't know where their resting place is. And I think we should be doing everything in our power to ensure that there's all the mechanisms available for people to be coming, to be forthcoming about where a body has been disposed of after a murder, such a brutal murder. So yes, we absolutely support the motion that's brought in front of us, Councillor Lewis, but just the technicality of those wardens, I think it would be better if we had unanimous support for Charlotte's Law here, and we could all accept that it could change as it goes through the legislative process in the next Assembly. But thanks for tabling it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. I'm not really, I fully support the motion as eloquently put and put by Councillor Lewis, and I'm aware of the work that he has done with the families. I wouldn't profess to speak for anybody else. Certainly wouldn't profess to speak for my own party leader, but certainly I know that she even referenced this at our most recent party conference, and is looking to further it as is, has been discussed. So happy to support the motion as is, Chair.
Thank you, Andy. And Councillor Owen?
Thanks very much, Chair. The DUP will be supporting Councillor Lewis's motion. I really can't imagine the pain that the families must go through every day thinking about this. I really have nothing more to add. Councillor Lewis, spoke very well on this motion, as have the other speakers. Just my thoughts and prayers continue to be with the families that find themselves in these positions, and more than happy to support the motion. And thank you, Councillor Lewis, for bringing it forward. And may I continue to support the families and on their continually in my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. Okay, so we've got a proposed amendment from Councillor Hanlon, seconded by. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, just thanks, Chair. Just in words of support for that amendment and the work that Alan has put into that, and obviously working closely with the Dorian family. And we understand, we watched a programme or two on television recently about the loss of Lisa and all the sadness that goes with that. And it is horrifying to know that actually happened, and people have still not got answers. And yes, I would totally and absolutely agree that no one will ever see the light of day until they hand over the body. That'd be my thinking of it. I know even in my own area there has been a few reminders of the loss of Lisa, because it had been, I suppose, the slogan put here and there in place. I don't understand what that's all about. But I just wish that whenever this person released it, it would certainly name where the Lisa's remains are. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Harold. As I was saying, we have a proposed amendment by Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Hanlon, can you just clarify the wording on your amendment, please?
Yeah, so my proposal would be, following scrutiny, due process and appropriate Assembly consideration, this Council supports the implementation of Charlotte's Law alongside the a package of practical and administrative recommendation from the Department's review of the law regarding the non-disclosure of victims' remains. This Council calls for the incoming Justice Minister to introduce Charlotte's Law in the next mandate.
Okay, thank you. So we'll take that amendment to a vote. Okay, so this will be voting for or against the amendment.
Sorry, Terry, can you turn yours off?
What's up?
Councillor Andrews. Councillor Brown.
Abstain.
Councillor Burgess.
Against.
Councillor Burton. Councillor Casey's absent. Councillor Clark's absent. Councillor Curtin. Councillor Devon's absent. Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Finnegan.
For.
Councillor Gallagher.
Against.
Councillor Gibbons.
Against.
Councillor Hanlon.
For.
Councillor Hanna.
Against.
Councillor Hart.
For.
Councillor Hiles absent. Councillor Larkin.
For.
Councillor Lewis.
Against.
Councillor McGuinness.
For.
Councillor Malone.
For.
Councillor Mason.
For.
Councillor McAteer.
Against.
Councillor McAvoy.
For.
Councillor McKee.
Against.
Councillor McKevitt.
Against.
Councillor McMurray.
Against.
Councillor Mulgrew is absent. Councillor Murphy.
For.
Councillor O'Hare.
For.
Councillor Murray.
For.
Councillor Owen.
Against.
Councillor Riley.
Against.
Councillor Rice.
For.
Councillor Owen.
For.
Councillor Savage.
Against.
Councillor Shargan.
Against.
Councillor Stokes.
Against.
Councillor Taylor.
Against.
Councillor Tinley's absent. Councillor Traynor.
Against.
Okay, so I've 13 for, 19 against, and one abstention.
Okay, so that amendment has not passed, and Councillor Lewis, your substantive motion has passed. I'll hand back to you to sum up.
Thank you, Chair. No, look, there is nothing more that I need to add or need to say other than to commend the Dorian and the Murray families and all the steps and the campaign and that they have done, but not only that, the support that they have offered to other families in this unfortunate circumstance. And to say that I met with Joanne, and the story has always deeply touched me and touched an awful lot of people. But when you hear it firsthand and you hear of the impact, but then you not only hear of the impact it's had on the family, of how they've used that to put into place best practice and support for other families, and looking at the legislation that currently stands and how that they can not only improve their own situation, but bring truth and justice to all of those families that have unfortunately went through this. And I strongly commend Joanne and the Murray family for all of their work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Okay, so we're going to move on to item number 13, which is a notice of motion from Councillor Savage regarding the Pat Jennings statue. This motion has been referred to the Good Relations Committee, our group, under Standing Order 16.116. Councillor Savage, if you could read out your motion as it is, and let us know who's second in it, please.
Yes, sir, and understand and appreciate the rationale for sending it to the committee, because it's very important to go through proper procedures. I just want to say I'm privileged to bring this motion tonight in relation to one of Newry and the district's most famous sons, Pat Jennings. I'd like to thank Councillor David Taylor for seconding the motion, because I believe it reflects the cross community and the whole community standing in which Pat is held. Chair, the motion reads as follows. Council acknowledges the outstanding contribution son of Newry, the former Northern Ireland international, Tottenham Hotspur, Arsenal, Watford and Newry Town goalkeeper Pat Jennings has made to sport, charity, reconciliation and the promotion of his home city and district. The Friends of Big Pat group has been established to honour Pat Jennings through the commissioning of a statue to be located in his native Newry in honour of his achievements on and off the pitch, and in recognition of the high esteem in which he is held in his home city and district and across the world. Council acknowledges Pat Jennings' global recognition as an outstanding international and English club goalkeeper, his time as a young GAA player with Newry Shamrocks, his work with numerous charities over many years, his involvement in reconciliation work, including his 35 years with Cooperation Ireland, and his role as an ambassador for Newry City's status bid in 2002. Council agrees to engage without prejudice with the Friends of Big Pat group as per the Council's agreed procedure and policy relating to the erection of artworks and statues. If an application is made by the Friends of Big Pat group relating to the erection of artwork statue honouring Pat Jennings in the city.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 14. This has been a request for an emergency notice of motion and requires the suspension of Standing Order 16.1.1, and we need to have a qualified majority vote in order to allow this to happen. That is 80% of those who are present and voting, and will now call for a recorded vote.
Councillor Andrews?
Order.
Councillor Brown?
For.
Councillor Burgess?
For.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Kern? Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Four.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Whole heart.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor Mason?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McKee?
Four.
Councillor McKevitt? Do you unmute, Councillor McKevitt? Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Murray?
Four.
Councillor Owen?
Four.
Councillor Riley? Still on. Councillor Riley, you're on mute. Councillor Wright?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
And Councillor Traynor?
Four.
Councillor McKevitt? Or Councillor Riley? Okay, well, we have 30 present and voting, and yeah, that passes anyway, it's unanimous.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Good. So the motion will be heard. So Councillor Stokes and Councillor Andrews, this is a motion from yourself, so I'll let you come in, read your motion.
Yes, Chair. And Chair, can I thank you first of all for your opening remarks tonight, which I thought were extremely appropriate, and also for accepting the motion from myself and the motion and the supplementary from Terry. So Newry and Mourne and Down District Council condemns in the strongest possible terms the invasion of the sovereign independent nation of Ukraine and expresses its solidarity with the Ukrainian people. Also, in light of the massive hike prices in relation to energy-related costs such as oil, gas, electricity and fuel in recent days and times, all of which will have a major detrimental impact on all of our residents in our district and beyond. Newry, Mourne and Down District Council call upon and demand that the Chancellor of Exchequer release the much necessary funding and support to enable that all households who have been affected by these massive price increases receive much needed support and help where it is needed, most especially in the times that we are now in and beyond. And if this motion is passed, Chair, that is adopted and is adopted, that we encourage the other 10 councils in the north of Ireland to do the same. Chair, my wife and I have numerous friends in Kyiv, a city I first visited in 1994 as a student, and have been put up by our friends in Kyiv over many years. Almost all of our friends are still in Kyiv. They're reduced to living in basements. So if you can imagine, Chair, so if you, as, for example, our friend Ludmila Ivanovna, who is with her daughter and her grandson, that she lives on the 12th floor in North Kyiv of her apartment block, it's too dangerous with the shells going off, that if you're hit and you're on the 12th floor, that it's too dangerous to stay in your apartment. So everyone is reduced to living either in subway stations or in basements. Chair, my son, Andre, was in Kyiv back in January. Got the cheap Ryanair flight visiting our friend Yura, who turned 60. On to stay with him, and the Christmas markets were still open and a great time. And life was going on, just like it's going on in Ireland, and people were recovering from COVID and looking forward to the next stage of their lives. Most of our friends would be in their 60s and be looking forward to looking after their grandchildren in their retirement. Their lives have been turned upside down. It's impossible to imagine. So that some have got out and some are still there. So it's got increasingly difficult to get out of the cities now. Although I got a message from our friend Yura, and he said they're going to try and make it to the Moldovan border. He sent me that this afternoon. Chair, I want to say a word of thanks across the chamber. I've already had a number of words of support from councillors from across the chamber, and I appreciate that. Also, in your reference to yourself, Chair, the support that has come in across our district and our local communities. Two phone calls, another two phone calls today, offering accommodation. People offering to put either rent out or give houses for free for a period of time. People offering to give up rooms in their houses. And I say another two calls now today. And a man stopped me in the shop in Camelon Saturday morning and gave me a cash donation to send out in the van that we know one of our friends is taking out on Tuesday. So, Chair, it's people like us who had our lives turned upside down. I thought it appropriate, Chair, that you mentioned it already as well, that we that Sinn Féin would second the motion, given that the fact our former colleague, friend Oksana McMahon, the former vice chair of this council, is a native of Kyiv, like my wife. I first met Oksana McMahon in 1996 at her home when she was still living in Kyiv. When her young daughter Natalia was still only 2 months old. And when I think back, I think, and I'm also watching David Taylor today and thinking that David has two young children. How does any young mother, or I think any parent with young children at the moment, either explain what's going on with the bombs going off outside, or explain why you've had to leave your country, you leave your home and wind up in 24 hours or 48 hours in a new country? It's just impossible to imagine, Chair. Chair, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes.
What I'll do in the meantime is I will speak at the end, because I see there's a list of councillors who would like to speak following Gary's contribution. So with your indulgence, Chair, I'll wait to the end of the questions and I'll come in on the economic aspects of things. But
no worries.
Thank you very much. I'll let members go before me.
Thank you, Terry. So Councillor Murray.
Colonel Margaret Harley. And Gary, thanks a million for bringing this motion. It's absolutely humbling to see the support within the communities of clothing and food and money, financial assistance, and as you say, people opening up their homes to refugees from Ukraine. It's absolutely humbling. Sinn Féin are more than happy to support this motion. Sinn Féin strongly condemn the brutal war inflicted on the people of Ukraine by Russia, and it must be held accountable for its actions. As a party committed to the upholding of international law, multilateralism, a peaceful coexistence among nations, we in Sinn Féin call on Russia to stop the onslaught immediately and to withdraw its troops. The restoration of a national sovereignty of Ukraine is a priority. Sinn Féin wants to see a demilitarised, nuclear-free and more tolerant world. The days of vampires are long gone. The UN Charter needs to be the cornerstone of all foreign policy. We have called on the Irish government to use Ireland's proud reputation as a militarily neutral country and current place on the UN Security Council to push for an immediate ceasefire and withdrawal of Russian troops. Conor Murphy has called on the British government to scrap VAT on energy bills and help families tackle the cost of living crisis that's gone into the cost of living crisis is being created by the fuel and everything else over in Russia. The Communities Minister, Deirdre Hargey, has also stepped up and delivered an extra £200 payment to help over 280,000 people to heat their homes. But we certainly support the call to write to the Exchequer to demand more much-needed finance at this time. And as I say, Gary, more than happy to support the motion. Moihu.
Thank you, Barra. Councillor Hanna.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, Gary, I know I myself am thinking of you and your family there, with family and friends out in that country there, where no fault of their own, they've been attacked viciously, so they have, with no provocation whatsoever. Every country has its entitlements that has to live in freedom, to live in peace, to live as they want to live, in a peaceful and lawful society. I salute those men and women in Ukraine who have took it upon themselves to try to defend their country. Very much they are the David and Goliath situation here. They don't seem to have really an air force even to defend themselves, so they don't. Whenever you see people lifting Molotov cocktails, as they call them, petrol bombs there, to try to defend themselves, that is true courage. That is true courage. Anyone that's prepared to do that, to try to defend their home, their families and everything. Whenever you see men putting their wives and families onto buses and trains and them going, and whenever you actually see in Poland and them other countries, Romania and wherever else, it's nearly all women and children and elderly folk that's actually standing there. I can understand why the world is opening their heart to them, so they are. To be quite honest with you, Gary, I'm thinking of you and all those who have relatives out there. And on what's happening now with all the sanctions and one hanging on, freedom is not free, he said, isn't. Peace is not free. We will all have to sacrifice over the coming days, months, and possibly even years to try to put this, and I don't know what to call Mr. Putin at all, to be quite honest with you. I believe he's lost the plot, say he has, completely. I do not know who's advising him. We're sitting on the tenterhooks at the moment. We do not know what's going to happen next. He did this in Ukraine, say he has. Will he do it somewhere else? We do not know. I know all them countries, they're all sitting on tenterhooks, so they are. They do not know what's coming next. But as I said to you, freedom is not free. Peace is not free. We will all have to sacrifice a little and suffer a lot just so that this wrong can be put right. So us from the DUP, Catherine and I, and Catherine I know wants to say something as well. Gary, thanks for bringing the motion, and we are 100% behind you. Thank you.
Thanks. Glenn, Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And Chair, I just, first of all, just want to say that I don't know how it happened, but I think it's most unfortunate that these two motions have been merged together. Now, it may have been a process or procedure, but I think the motion on Ukraine, the depth of the issue and the magnitude of it would indicate that it deserved its own standing in this chamber. However, we are where we are in that, for whatever reason. When we see the greatest movement of refugees in Western Europe since World War II, and all I've seen this last week is images, very reminiscent of the Jews going to the death camps, trains filled with women, mainly women and children, and tears. That's really what's been the images that's presented, apart from the slaughter of people in their own homes and in their own towns and in their streets. The entrapment of people is criminal. And I do sincerely hope that people do not forget this, because the great hands of power, when they're starting to claw back the economies again, will no doubt sit with President Putin maybe less than the 15-metre table away when people choose to forget. We should not forget what has been visited upon these people at the moment. It is absolutely reprehensible. It cuts across all the norms of every society, and especially the European society that we've created, built around the premise of peace and stability. It may cost us in terms of rising fuel and possibly shortages of food, but that's a small price to pay when we witness what's going on in that country. In terms of what the British government are doing, it's shameful when I hear stories from the French-British border at Calais and Dover, where people, less than 50 people, I think, were allowed in. Boris is doing his usual story again, bluffing the people, telling them they're concerned. And I think it's something that we should be, this council should be linking ourselves is with the Irish government's sincerity in bringing people and refugees into this island. We should be associating, and I would like to see our council contacting the Irish government and those of us that want to share our homes and share our rooms with the no doubt thousands upon thousands of refugees pouring in, that we will be allowed the facility and the whereby means to be able to share that common decency with them, because I don't think it's coming from elsewhere. So, Chair, thank you for my sole words really around the situation in Ukraine, and possibly I leave the financial issues and the cost of increasing fuel to others. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, sorry, Chair. Just had a problem there getting the mute button popped off. Chair, listen, quite a bit's already been said regarding events in Ukraine tonight, and, you know, obviously don't want to repeat all that, but, you know, listen, the motion itself, I've been in contact with Gary, you know, as a proposer of the motion in recent over the last week or so. Obviously, you know, both him and his family have been in my thoughts and prayers, and I've mentioned that to him. And certainly all of the people of Ukraine, you know, I've been thinking of them, even in church, or my own church service yesterday, we prayed for the people of Ukraine. And, you know, the brutality that's been inflicted upon them at present by an evil dictator, really. That's the only way I can describe him at this stage, because he oppresses his own people, and he now seeks to spread that oppression to neighbouring countries. And my genuine fear is that whilst Ukraine may be the first step, in his grander plan, that he won't stop there, that he'll proceed to try and inflict further pain on other nations across Europe. And that in itself creates not only a danger for the people of Ukraine and those other countries that, you know, would be inflicted by that, but throughout the world, actually. And we're already seeing an impact throughout the world as a consequence of the actions of Putin. Some of the scenes that I have seen over recent days have been absolutely heartbreaking. And Gary did reference to make reference to myself as a dad of two small children. You know, some of the scenes I've seen, it would bring tears to your eye. You know, last week, you know, I seen a man who held one of his children's toys in his hand as he said goodbye to both him, goodbye to his son and his wife, whilst he was deciding to stay in Ukraine and fight for the freedom of his nation. And then over the weekend, I saw another scene that was extremely distressing, where a young man and woman were cradling their child who had been killed by the actions of the Russian army. And to see that, you know, to see that in picture form is distressing enough. But what must that be, you know, for the people of Ukraine who are having to endure this heartache and pain on a day and daily basis, all because of an evil, crazy dictator who's seeking to overthrow their country. And the world does need to stand up to Putin. And whilst we all have our own opinions about what the best methods may be to do that, you know, I think we do need to send a united message about sanctions and military support where that can be provided. I understand we don't want to get into debate about neutrality and things like that tonight, because that's not what it's about here. But we need to stand strong and stand together to send a message across to Putin that what he's doing isn't acceptable. Because he's not only placing the people of Ukraine in grave danger, because they are obviously taking the brunt of what's happening at the minute, but he's also placing danger upon the world at this stage, and we always have to be conscious of that, and we have to stand up to dictators and evil regimes, and that's what we have in Russia now at this present time. The motion itself, as he mentions, about the impact that it's having on us as citizens in terms of the rising energy costs, that also is an issue. And there are, you know, ways that we have to try and obviously address that, and governments do have a responsibility for that. But in saying so as well, without getting into the whole debate again about EU and Brexit, there is an issue where we have at the moment as well regarding the potential removal of VAT energy costs, that there's an issue with the protocol at present. Apologies, Chair. Apologies for that, Chair. Chair, listen, it's not ideal what happened there, but listen, it's, you know... We're lucky that we were able to be in that position to have something like that happen, you know, at this present time. So so apologies again for that. But we have a situation with the energy costs where there is a need for the EU to work on that, because the protocol does have an impact on that as well, about the need to facilitate a reduction in VAT on energy costs that would apply across the United Kingdom. So again, without getting into the politics of that tonight, that is an issue that we need to look at as well to try and deal with this matter. But listen, Chair, in concluding, I'm obviously fully behind this motion, and I'm very aware of the personal interest that Gary has in this and the emotion that he must be going through even discussing this tonight. But one thing I would say, whilst we have so much evil inflicted upon the world, and particularly in Ukraine at present, things like this can also bring out the best in us. And we have seen that through the support that's been offered, both locally and indeed, you know, across the world. Like over the recent days, the amount of humanitarian aid that has been provided, and even people locally providing goods to drop off points, it shows how good... At times, I suppose, when we see things like this happening in Ukraine, it challenges our opinion of humanity. But with the evil that we also see, we're also seeing a greater good, and to me that's the best of humanity, and that's where the vast majority of people are in the world. So fully behind the motion, and I hope and really really pray that this can be ended sooner rather than later. I fear that it won't be, but I do hope that there will be some intervention that brings peace and stability to the people of Ukraine. And whilst we will have a very, very little influence on that, at least at the very, you know, very best we can do is show our support publicly here tonight. So, Gary, thanks again for bringing forward the motion and for your contribution as well, Terry. And our party's fully behind what you've proposed here tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. I'd just like to especially commend Gary for bringing this motion tonight. I know with him, Natasha, Andre, and the wider family, I've had to endure, which has been a harrowing time since war broke out, and they've had to watch the places that they would have regularly visited been torn apart when ripped apart by bombs and Putin's war machine. Chair, this conflict has shown us the very worst of humanity in what Putin is about, but has also shown us the very best of humanity. I witnessed it firsthand, local school children sitting and at their desks at school, packing boxes, bringing them down to our office, and actually taking the time not only to write on the boxes what's in them, but taking the time to write the translation in Ukrainian, so that whenever they arrive at their destination, the people there know what's inside them and that the gift has come with thought and with love from the people of this area. I think what we have witnessed is nothing short of harrowing and heartbreaking. I think it is a war with no real mission and no real outcome other than to destroy the peace that we've endured here for over 70 years across the continent of Europe. Chair, but, you know, as part of that element of humanity, as well as the arrival of gifts and parcels and offering of donations that I've witnessed personally over the last number of weeks, and the outpouring of support and the real deep desire to help the people of Ukraine, you know, there's also been in recent days quite a number of people been in contact, particularly people who are retired or sitting in big enough houses and their families have left their homes, and they're ringing and making contact and saying, look, can you take my name down and make contact with me, because we can take a family here. We can take five or six, a mother and father and three or four children, and our home is their home for as long as they need it. And that has been replicated on several occasions over the last 24 to 72 hours. And I think we as a council, just to tap into what Declan has said, I think the Irish government has taken a much greater humanitarian lead in this in relation to wavering the visas. And I think that Boris could take a leaf out of Micheál Martin and the Irish government's book on this and follow through with a real act of humanity and open its doors and the gateways of its borders to these people who are in desperate need. So, Chair, I would suggest that potentially as part of this process, for whatever role the council can play, I feel that from an administrative perspective, if the council was able to open some form of a register of interest, whereby if I know that we saw scenes in Germany and Berlin, for example, where crowds of people turned up holding placards saying, I can take a family of five, I can take a family of three, and people walked off and found a home temporarily where they found refuge from the war that they were escaping. So I believe that we as a council should consider, if it's within our gift, to at least develop some form of register of interest from people who would want to take across the district, want to take families in, so that whenever, you know, we're dealing with potentially, and the second half of this motion deals with an economic crisis, but sure, we're going to deal with a huge humanitarian crisis here. And I think that the people of this district have already demonstrated that they will welcome the Ukrainian people with open arms and will make their homes available to them and give them whatever support they need. And I think we need to send out that message by making the preparations now for whenever the humanitarian crisis escalates, and we have to open our borders and we have to welcome people because we want to. And I believe that if a register was developed, at least we would have some part of the logistical element of that covered. So, again, I'd just like to show my firm support for what Gary has and Terry have brought tonight. It's a very meaningful motion, and I'd like to see the first part of the motion, as Declan has said, brought in its, on its own, because I believe it's a very powerful beginning to the motion. But, Chair, I fully support it, and if consideration can be given to that register element of it, I think it would be a very important first step from what little the council can do and what is effectively a global stage. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Owen?
Thanks very much, Chair. Gary, goodness me, I genuinely don't know a single day that I haven't watched Sky News or BBC News and actually sat there with my cup of coffee with my eyes welled up. I mean, I know I'm a bit of a softie at the best of times, but goodness me, I think it would even melt the hardest of hearts. My heart is absolutely broken. I think as well, certainly being a veteran, a Royal Air Force veteran, I just feel so powerless. I am literally sitting and feeling helpless. And it's not a position that I feel particularly comfortable with. And I think certainly if you ask any veteran, they are all sort of itching to try and do something to help. And I wish I could. I wish I could do more than sit here and give contributions at a council meeting. And change my Facebook banner and various other things. But as to touch on what others have said, and I suppose it comes back as well, whenever COVID first hit, it does take crises to actually bring the very best out of people as well. And equally as well, while it's heartbreaking, it is equally as well heartwarming to see, I mean, that particular faith missionary thing. I think they're up to 25 lorries worth, 40-foot lorries worth of aid. And from a wee country like Northern Ireland, I mean, that is absolutely remarkable. You know, normally whenever it comes to a situation where I'm fifth or sixth speaker, I just normally sort of don't want to take up any time. But I'm glad to have the platform to be able to turn around and try and express something because my heart and my family's heart is breaking for Ukrainians. Not even necessarily Russia, because a lot of the ordinary Russian people are disgusted by this as well. What Putin is doing is absolutely shocking. And if one thing has come out of this, you know, certainly the West, if not the world, the vast majority of the world anyway, is actually uniting. It's taken something like this to unite. I do wish that we could do more. And I do believe that will come. But it's breaking. It's heartbreaking to watch the sacrifices that are coming. I do also wish that this motion had been brought into two parts, because I also think as well the fuel poverty is really hitting a lot of people. And as an individual, and maybe there would have been something there that we could have done, maybe writing to the Department of Communities or something to see if there was any way of a fuel payment grant, that type of thing. I know I rarely go on, but on both of those issues, I think the Ukrainian people deserved a motion of their own, and the fuel deserved a motion of its own. But listen, Gary, mine and my family on a very, very personal and a human level. Oh my goodness, Gary, my thoughts are with you and your family and everybody that's over in Ukraine. And I genuinely mean that on a personal level. You know, my heart absolutely breaks for you, and you're in my thoughts and prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. Councillor McMurray. Andy, we can't hear you. I think your microphone might be on top of your head.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the sobriety of it is ruined by my inability to use a microphone. No, listen, Chair. I guess really, again, touching on what yourself and council officers have done with regards to coordinating some effort, again, I think that's been absolutely amazing. It's been very well received. It's been something that has needed to be done. So I suppose really, first of all, thanking you and Ms. Carville there as well. So in that regard, and the teams that they've put together, I suppose in the second instance, again, yes, thinking of your former colleague, although I'm not sure your paths crossed essentially at the same tenure, Oksana McMahon and her relatives and family out there. And I suppose really, I mean, there's been issues there touched about fatherhood and stuff like that. And again, seeing, I suppose this is the first war really where you've nearly had to think to yourself, jeepers, oh, this could be something that my son might unfortunately see the end of. So that really does bring it home. I suppose really just to sort of finish, I mean, Gary, and I'm using your name, I'd like to use Councillor Stokes, but Gary, I can't stress enough, please let your wife know that we hold her Ukrainian people in the highest regard at this time. I mean, quite simply, I'm not going to go into super analysis about it all, but quite simply, there is right and there is wrong. And the Ukrainian people are on the side of right at the minute. And I just want you to let to know and pass that on. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor McKay?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I would welcome that notice of motion brought forward by Councillor Stokes and Andrews. Yeah, we've heard the stories from Councillor Stokes and his family and the close connections and those visitations, and we can only but think of our own situation here. You know, if you imagine high-rise flats, someone lives high up in them and realise because of shooting they have to go to underground bunkers and what have you. It doesn't even bear thinking about, but that's the way it is. But one of the things I would say, it's just, it is unfortunate, you know, that there is two parts to this motion, because certainly the second part of it has not really been touched on at all. And it is an equally important one about the price hike. But I suppose in the bigger scheme of things, if you compare the two situations with the war in Ukraine and where you have to pay a bit more for fuel and that, it's not really the same situation at all, because the other is absolute life and death, literally. And we have seen people on our TV screen, who walking along the road, some being helped along the road. We've even seen some who have been shot along the road, which is actually a major impact on the individuals. One thing I will say, you know, and I think it was Councillor Savage touched on it about homes. We just spoke today, my wife and I, that there's two rooms in our house that we would love that we could get somebody in, and whatever time that is sorted out, it'd be nice to be able to help out in a very minor way, but at least it would be shelter, a roof over their head, and the people would be getting fed. I would just love that situation. And I know my own church there on Sunday, there was a retirement offering at both services yesterday, and over £40,000 have been raised just in the one day, and that's wonderful to see that. And 100% of that money will go directly to, according to the church agencies out there, that will go to help them. And another thing we've noticed too is the lorries and vans, even in our own local area, who have people have generously given clothes, medical supplies and whatever, and which is so important at this time. And even the Russians thought that they were going to have the benefit of China behind them. China doesn't even agree with us either. So they're really isolated in that sense. And I know the Western governments, if you like, can't really get too involved. They do not want to have this as a third world war, and you can understand where that's coming from. They are certainly lending a lot of their ammunition and airplanes and what have you to enable the Ukrainians to fight the war. Maybe I'm sure you've seen in the last day or two a girl from Poland who lives and married someone here in Kilkeel, and she lost her very closest friend from Ukraine, and you can see the heartbreak on them. But there's nothing, you know, as sad looking as to see children literally being lifted by soldiers from their mothers and put into a train, and where that ends at what point do those people, mothers, families, babies, meet up again, you know, as that one family? And I'm not too sure how that all works out. It's just the brutalness of any war situation. And I just hope and trust and pray that this will soon somehow come to an end. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Harold. Tara, I'm going to let you in a second. Gary, I think it's very evident and clear from the words right across the chamber tonight that your family and all those with Ukrainian connections are in our thoughts, and I am more than happy as chair to meet with yourself and your wife directly, just to see if there's anything more that we can be doing as a council to help support. Terry, do you want to come in, and Gary, then I'll let you come in and sum up afterwards.
Thanks very much, Chair. And in a way, I wanted to defer for a thought. It was very, very important that the issues surrounding Ukraine to get first and foremost attention here this evening. I would like to thank you very much for allowing this special and quite important motion to be heard and debated upon at tonight's council meeting during these worrying and difficult times that we are now in. I fully concur and support and endorse what my councillor colleague and good friend Gary Stokes has said in this speech, and also my thoughts are with Oksana McMahon, you know, our former councillor and former vice chair. You know, as I say, I fully concur and support. And on a personal basis, I know how much the Ukraine means to Gary, to family, and also to so many in our district who in recent times have witnessed on TV screens and news and social media and everything and other outlets the daily battle by the Ukrainians against the Russian invaders of their country. In recent months, before the invasion of the Ukraine, we were witnessing a big increase to fuel costs on a regular basis. And within the past few days, prices were changing several times daily, skyrocketing, and are now at levels with which we have never seen before. And with the constant current situation, the price increases are showing no sign of slowing down and reducing. And this looks like the way that the price of oil... Sorry, I'm up in straight here. The price increases couldn't have come at a worse time. With the company coming out of the pandemic, the economy's been struggling. Businesses have closed. Houses, and so many people have lost jobs, houses and incomes, and have no option but to sign on benefits. And also with so many low incomes and zero contracts, I've been left with a very stark choice. It's either heat or eat. Even going to the petrol station, filling the pump, people are avoiding car and vehicle usage simply due to the fact of the spiraled price increases, all of which have had a domino effect on all strands of life. Even businesses of all sizes are facing an uphill battle to survive, and a very bleak future ahead is beckoning. As councillors, we are all seeing this on a regular basis, and in tonight's emergency joint motion, we are highlighting and speaking out as well for the people of Ukraine and also for the people of our district who are worried and fearful for the future, praying for peace in the world. When you think about it, with the increase of prices and related costs, the increase of VAT, the intake into the Treasury, has been a boost to the Chancellor's coffers. We've also read and heard about the massive profits that the major companies have been making at the expense of the consumer, who have been left hard hit by the hike in costs. We've heard calls tonight, and I'm endorsing those calls, upon the Chancellor of the Exchequer and diverting these taxation increases, giving back to the people. And also the Chancellor and his colleagues in the Cabinet should be levying taxes on the big companies and giving the proceeds of those taxes back to helping all in our society who have been affected and impacted upon by raising prices, etc. On a local basis, the extra money should be diverted to the Department of Communities, and each household should receive financial support from the Department of Communities, you know, through the Energy Support Grant and any other means, to help see people who are hard-pressed through these times, and also support should be given to those businesses and companies and societies and even the community who too have been impacted by the spiralling costs, and more so since the invasion of Ukraine by the Russians. You know, if this motion is adopted tonight, I call upon its circulation to our fellow colleagues in the other 10 councils so that they too can stand up with Newry Morning Down and show our solidarity for the people of Ukraine, and also for our people who are now in dire straits, worrying and fearful for the future and with so little to live on. So again, thanks. I just fully support sentiments of the motion, and I'd like to thank everybody for on this side for their support. And again, I'll hand back to Gary to sum up. And if anybody wants to say anything about the economic effects on people, again, I would like to hear that as well. But thank you,
Terry. Thanks very much for those words. I don't think there's any other comments or questions in. I think there's unanimous support for both aspects of the motion, two very important parts. Gary, I'll hand back to yourself to sum up.
Kelly, I just want, just briefly, I just want to thank you for your very kind offer, and we'll have a think about that and really appreciate that. And just to close off, the Ukrainian word for thank you is Dyakuju. So I'm just going to say Dyakuju.
Thanks very much, Gary. I'm not sure whether you can hear it properly, but there was a round of applause here in the chamber for you. Okay, folks, that's us wrapped up for tonight. So to everyone in the chamber, safe home and take care, everyone at home. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Good night, everybody.